Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Hi, it's the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is New York State Assembly Minority Leader Brian Kolb, a Republican who represents New York's 31st District, which includes all of Ontario and parts of Seneca County, and is also a teacher of government at Roberts Wesleyan College. Welcome to you, Brian Kolb. I always love it when you come in the studio and you tell us what you think.
Alan, always a pleasure.
So I saw in the paper today that nobody is allowed to use the Great Seal of New York except for the governor or his designees. Do you have it on your card? You have a Great Seal on your card?
That's funny you mention that. I've never really, I know we've got something on the card.
But, you know, I know that we may not come from the same basic religious groups, but there's a word that I think is correct here. It's from the original Yiddish, and it's chutzpah, that only the governor would be allowed to use the Great Seal. I saw a picture of him on his motorcycle not that long ago, and he's got the Great Seal of New York on the front of the windshield of the motorcycle.
Really? I hadn't seen that photo.
Yeah. Amazing, isn't it? Do you have to be careful about what you say about him because, you know, you might be afraid he'd take retribution?
I think you know me well enough now that I speak my mind, although I am selective in maybe the words I use when I speak my mind, but I still speak my mind.
So, Brian Kolb, is there anything that he's done recently that annoys you?
Annoys me. I would say concern would be a better word.
Concerns you is a better word than annoys.
Yeah, I think the recent story I just picked up in this morning's post was him meeting with Jay-Z to talk about the criminal justice system in New York State. I certainly believe that's the wrong audience that the governor should be speaking to. I think he should be speaking to judges and district attorneys and law enforcement personnel throughout the state, and not just the state, maybe throughout in other states, on dealing with criminal justice issues and all of that's transpired with the Eric Garner case. I don't believe that Jay-Z brings anything to the table from a educational perspective, from a real-world perspective in terms of actually on the streets in dealing with the justice issues that we're dealing with. And I just think it's a bad photo op for the governor in this particular case. He hasn't had an audience with me, and I think I know a heck of a lot more about the topic than Jay-Z does.
Well, of course, Jay-Z represents a larger group of people who feel oppressed by the criminal justice system, people of color. And the article I read, I think it was probably the same article you read, said he had, the governor had been talking to people from all sides on this issue.
Well, my belief on that is Jay-Z's an entertainer. I'm not...
And a confessed criminal from the old days in terms of...
Correct. But I think, again, if we're going to talk to people that are in the streets, that are the neighbors that are concerned about law enforcement or the criminal justice system, let's talk to the people on the streets that actually are living it, that are not multimillionaires, that are part of the Hollywood and the entertainment scene, which I think is not reality when we're dealing with the streets of New York. And that's why I say let's talk to real people, not the privileged people. Just even when, we had our esteemed visitors from England, Jay-Z and Beyonce are right at the courtside having their photos taken. And I don't think that's the real world that average New Yorkers live in. And I think average New Yorker should have a voice at this table more so than him.
Well, a couple of things, Mr. Leader. And I want to tell everybody we're talking again to Assembly Minority Leader, Republican Brian Kolb. You know, there are an awful lot of people who buy Jay-Z's records.
That's true.
Number one. Number two, what kind of reforms would you subscribe to that might bring us together a little bit more? There's one on the table right now that grand juries and prosecutors are too close and that prosecutors and the police are too close and therefore we don't indict policemen.
Well, I think there's obviously lots of room for candid discussion. But certainly when you have to go with the starting premise that every single district attorney that represents us in this state and every single county is elected by the people. So they're directly answerable to the people where they live and work. and to just totally disregard them because it's dealing with law enforcement, I think is the wrong message to send. That's basically saying, really on the backside, we don't have any confidence in you being an attorney or a district attorney that's been elected by the people. Now, if you want to have conversations, should we have a separate process in the event of a death with law enforcement? That's a legitimate conversation to have. Certainly, I think there are a lot of other alternatives other than I think the Attorney General of the state of New York doing it. I think he's too political and would not bring an unbiased point of view to.
Let me just interrupt you for a moment, Brian, if I can, and say that he has proposed, for those who haven't been following this, Eric Schneiderman, that he be given special powers to investigate the deaths of some of these minority folks who claim, the community claims, have been unfairly shot down by police.
I think there's a venue to have an outside body look at that or be part of that. I just don't think it should be the Attorney General. I think he's political. I think he's using this as a political platform. I would rather see an independent panel of judges. Or even, quite frankly, if especially since these cases are infrequent, thank goodness, that maybe you bring a panel in of prosecutors, whether it's a federal prosecutor, judges that are out that don't even live in the state, that can bring an unbiased viewpoint to the evidence. And certainly in making sure that whatever panel is constructed, that it's a panel of color, and that make sure that we try to, on all areas, promote a unbiased, fair review of the facts. And I don't think that the Eric Schneiderman fits that bill.
Okay, let's go to John King Jr. He's Hispanic, and he's leaving to go to the administration in Washington, the Obama administration, as a top advisor in the Department of Education. Largely touted the Common Core, is known for that. What do you make of this?
Good luck and goodbye. Certainly, I think that his replacement, whoever it is, will hopefully be able to straighten out the mess that's been created on Common Core through its rollout. And that's where the major program. Everybody's in favor of higher standards for our children. We want to have them better prepared for the global economy. But it's how you roll that program out with the schools, with the teachers, with the administrators, with the students, was an absolute unmitigated disaster. I think that there should be a thorough overhaul of the Board of Regents in this state. And
what would you like to see done to reform the Board of Regents?
I know it sounds kind of crazy, but I'd rather see the governor appoint the Board of Regents than being elected by the legislature.
That's a time-honored debate. In New York City, Mayor Bloomberg wanted control of education. He said, listen, I'm the mayor. You let me run the sewer trucks. Why don't you let me run the Department of Education also? And he got his way. And you would like to reform it and say to this governor, you appoint the people who are running education.
Yeah, especially the commissioner of education. Absolutely. Just like he has every other major administrative post reporting to him that affects the residents from a statewide perspective.
So are you calling, Brian Cole, for the dismantling of the Board of Regents? No more Board of Regents.
Well, I'd like to see it overhauled. If it's not dismantled, certainly changed so that the legislature doesn't get to pick them.
Right. The way that it works now is?
The overwhelming majority of both houses of the legislature, which is all 212 members, is picked by the majority of that body. It's the only thing we do in state government where you combine the votes for both houses at one time.
Which means that the Senate has almost no voice in it because there are many more assemblymen, right? And based on the iron law of oligarchy, as we always say, as you and I teach government, with the iron law of oligarchy, if you have a big body, one guy is the head guy. And so, therefore, if you think about it, Shelley Silver picks the regents.
That's correct. And the Assembly and Senate Democrats, one party and one ruler. And I think that's absolutely bad for New York State education policy. It has been bad. We spend just about the most money, or if not the most money, on education in the entire state between local and state spending. And look at our results statewide. It's abysmal. And I think that's why it begs for an overhaul in our entire educational system.
What would you do specifically? I mean, what do you think we could do to make kids learn better in New York State?
Well, you know, it's a very complex topic, obviously. You know, I don't think there's any simple solutions here. But certainly, I think it really starts right at the very basics of in the backyard at home. How can we engage our parents, especially in our urban schools? You have a different engagement of parents in the suburbs and also in the rural schools. How can we better involve parents in our urban schools. That's why there's such a clamoring for charter schools, about having school choice, because minority families in particular feel that the public schools is not servicing them well. So how can we
But don't we elect our boards of education, is a point somebody made to me recently. You know, we don't elect the people who run charter schools, but we certainly elect the people who run run schools, don't we?
Oh, well, that's correct. There are elected members of the Board of Education, and again, it still starts at home. But if we're looking from a big picture of New York State and the money we're spending in on education throughout the state, I think the state has to take more of a leadership role working with the local leaders to see where the gaps are, where the problems are, what can we do for an intervention work. You know, in some places they're closing schools. Is that the answer? Could be. But it still involves trying to get, how do we get, and I think the most difficult question to answer, how can we get parents more involved in their children's education?
I want to go to another place. As you know, Governor Cuomo has set up award systems around the state where businesses, in order to get businesses, you know, grants are made. I wonder how you feel about all that.
Well, basically, for our listeners' point of view, before Governor Cuomo came into office, there were economic development grants and member items metered out predominantly by the two majorities in the houses of the legislature and the governor together. They all had their pots of gold that they doled out in different communities that they represented. The minorities at times got very small shares of that. I think now the flip side, now the governor controls an overwhelming amount of the decisions made on economic development. And by the way, it's not just those big dollar prizes that they're going to announce today, but it's a whole bunch of smaller items that he gets to decide where money is spent. And I don't think there's enough legislative input on those types of decisions.
Do you think he uses political criteria to do that?
Oh, there's no doubt. Absolutely.
Have you any specific horror cases that you could think of?
Horror cases, no. But I think it's, I don't care whether it's Governor Cuomo or Governor Smith or Governor Pataki. They've all done it. If they've got the opportunity to spread the wealth at their discretion, I think they're going to do it where it optimizes them politically.
There, you've gone and said it and opened the door, as they say on Law and Order. You open the door, Counselor, and here we go. Governor Pataki, has announced that, not announced, but by his actions, he's going up to Iowa, New Hampshire, that he might want to be a presidential candidate. What advice would you give him about that?
Well, if you're really hungry for the office, then you got to get out and beat the bushes. And that's going to New Hampshire and Iowa and test your message, test your experience, test your background, and you'll get an answer pretty quickly on whether it's going to resonate. Because if it doesn't resonate in New Hampshire or Iowa, chances are you're not going to resonate many other places.
Well, how does a largely invisible person, I mean, he's been out of office for several years now, get his name out there so that people really say, well, this is a contender. He's not even being tested in the polls. He's not, and it's gotten a lot of hee-haws as a result of his doing this.
Well, what I've
Now I know you're a Republican and you have to, you're a Republican leader. You have to be careful about what you say here.
No, I'm not careful at all. I think that Governor Pataki, though, and I think this is not uncommon. The longer you're out of office, the more favorably you're looked upon.
Uh-huh.
And certainly I think there was a lot of things that Governor Pataki was very strong on the environment. When he first got elected, he was a very strong
fiscal. Bought a lot of land in the Adirondacks, I know that.
Fiscal conservative. But he championed himself in similar fashion on the environment as Teddy Roosevelt did. Mm. So I think in today's mood nationally, I think that since there is no clear front runner or two or three in the Republican Party, I think if there ever is a time for the governor to want to try his message or what he may offer as a candidate, now's a good time to do that.
Well, no, but let's face it, Brian Culp, he's a moderate Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And he, on the social issues, he certainly isn't in agreement with the Tea Partiers or the people who turn out in primaries. That's a question somewhere.
That's correct. And that depends on the state. And there, as you have seen historically, even in Republican primaries, when John McCain and Rudy Giuliani and others, depending upon where you went, messages went well, in some places it wasn't. But ultimately, that's the toughest part. There's a diversity in the Republican Party. You've got different levels of people, if you within the party, on the far right to the middle right to the moderate to the, you know, liberal Republicans, and the same thing with the Democratic Party. It's just trying to, find a message that actually will resonate with, in this particular case, Republican voters first, and then a national audience after that.
Well, Mr. Leader, I wanted to ask you something. You and I both spend an enormous amount of time teaching about state government. Yet, you know, I run the Legislative Gazette. I do radio programs on this. I interview you. I'm frustrated by the fact that I don't think people give a damn about state government. I think they're appallingly unknowing about the institutions. Why is that?
Well, I think how does it affect their lives? And when it affects their lives, I think people become very interested. If they need help with a state agency, as an example, if they're having a problem with DEC or the Department of Labor, and this could be a business, this could be an individual. For instance, we have folks in my district right now that have severe water problems in their community, and they're looking for financial help, and their local town government saying, we don't have the financial resources. And so they're calling me and writing me and saying, you know, Brian, is there any potential state funding that may be able to help us? What I'm saying is, until there's a need, or that people don't really think about state government until they really need to think about state government.
Well, wait a second. The cities, of course, are a creature of the state. We know that. Mm-hmm. And the state is more powerful by far than the cities or the localities. They make decisions every day. Can you smoke marijuana? Can you end your life? These are all major decisions that are made. And yet, people know who their mayors are, but don't know much more.
Well, I think it's, again, selective. It depends on the communities. I think you'll find people in rural New York State and in the suburbs a little bit more familiar with their state legislators than the urban populations.
Absolutely true.
New York City, they're more familiar with their city council person than they are their state assembly person.
Yep.
Even though they're their state assembly person's in the majority. Yeah. So I think that's fair to say, and I think it's also fair to say about their federal representative as well. You know, when I'm out in the district, I've had people call me assemblymen. They've called me congressman. They've called me senator. And then, of course, whenever they call me congressman or senator, I say, don't do that. They'll think I'm running against them. So,
Brian Kolb, Leader Kolb, I wanted to ask you, you say on your website that the SAFE Act, the governor's SAFE Act, guns, isn't working. There's little chance it ever will. I've just looked at a Pew poll which showed more and more Americans support gun ownership against, you know, gun control. I'm wondering what you make of all of that.
Well, I think it's the real world that we live in. People want to believe in protecting themselves. It's a different world we're living in. We've got certainly an ongoing, constant threat of terrorism and violence in our society that, you know, you've got a criminal element, you've got gangs, you've got heightened drug transactions that fuel crime. So I think people just don't feel as safe as they used to. And I think one of those things that they feel better about is being able to protect themselves with a firearm. And certainly I don't think the SAFE Act has anything to do with when you're dealing with gun violence with a criminal act. And that is not going to reduce crime with the use of a firearm, because most criminals are acquiring their firearms illegally. They're not buying them at the local gun show or gun shop. That doesn't mean it hasn't occurred. I'm not saying that 100%, but the majority of the firearms used in a violent crime are illegal firearms, and this bill, the SAFE Act, does nothing with that topic, and it also does nothing dealing with true mental health issue about people that should or should not have possession of firearms with an appropriate permit or not.
Let's talk a little bit, if we can, about what some people think of as an oxymoron, legislative ethics. Sorry about that. I just couldn't resist. There is all kinds of evidence now that the governor would be willing to trade a pay raise for some meaningful legislative ethics reform. What would be acceptable in such a package for you?
Well, first and foremost, let me say that the Assembly Republican Conference has put forth specific legislation of any of the subject matters that they're talking about right now to go along with a deal on a pay raise, which is pension stripping, not being able
pension
to use—
Pension stripping meaning when somebody does something wrong—
Convicted of a crime.
They lose their pension.
Correct. That they can't use the campaign funds for personal purposes. We put a Public Officers Accountability Act 2 years ago. I sent a copy of that legislation to each of the legislative leaders, all of them, both houses, and the governor. I have not gotten one response from any of them on that piece of legislation.
Are you surprised?
No, but I think what's frustrating is that our conference has been outspoken. We've got legislation. We've done more tweets and Facebook posts, and we've talked about the Moreland Commission. We talked about Jay Cope. I've put legislation out there for term limits for leaders. There's all sorts of reform legislation out there. And this is where I think, if you want to hear about frustration, is that there have been a whole host of ideas. And this is the job of the minority parties in both houses, is to come out with suggestions and ideas to make New York State better, not just to say no, and we don't. We say no on things that are bad, but we more often than not come up with ideas that we think would actually make our state better. And on ethics specifically, we've put more into proposed laws than anybody. But yet, none of the press has talked about it. Now the press is talking about ethics reform because they're trying to tie it in with a pay raise. I'm saying we could have done all this ethics reform 2 years ago.
Yeah, but there's no incentive for people. For example, there's a story out that the speaker has to report his outside income, underestimated. I don't know if that's true or not, but there's such a report. The only time that this kind of stuff does get done is when there's something that the legislature wants, like a pay raise.
Well, I think that's what, if you wonder why people are cynical about state government,
yep.
Why aren't we doing it? Because it's the right thing to do.
Indeed.
And then that's where the public pressure should come from, the editorial pages in the state, and electronic media, is to put pressure on the legislative leaders and the legislators individually about taking action on ethics reform. And as far as a pay raise is concerned, I think that anybody that earns over $10,000 a year or more in outside income, mm-hmm. if they do reach a deal, should not be eligible for that pay raise. So if whether Shelley Silver is making $750,000 in outside income or any other senator or assemblyman's making more than $10,000, they should only get the base pay, no additional outside income or income from
From leadership positions?
Do you as mean? Well. Yeah. If you're going to be making outside, if you really want to start reforming the system.
I have one last question. We only have a minute, and so you have to answer in just a few seconds. And that is, Dick Gottfried wants to have universal health care, single payer in New York State. Yay or nay?
Nay.
Because?
Well, first of all, Richard Gottfried, the only thing he's ever done is be a state legislator. He has absolutely zero world experience about what's going on in the everyday world of people that pay taxes, people that are, in dire need of health care services. We need more than one person that's just been a state government official their entire professional career actually advocating or suggesting changes to our health care system.
But wouldn't it be a good idea to have everybody? I'm a Medicare. I like it a lot. Why shouldn't we have that in New York State?
I think there's just a lot of pros and cons that has to be worked through in details. Because you know what? This reminds me of Obamacare. Everybody's going to have coverage, and it's not going to cost you any money, more money. And the famous line,
you can keep it'll cost you money, all right.
Yeah, and you're going to keep the doctor that you want, which is all those promises that were made on Obamacare that did not come true. When Dick Gottfried starts talking about his idea for health care reform, I would say time out.
We are out of time. Our guest has been New York State Assembly Minority Leader Brian Cope, who we love having on the show. Thanks so much, Brian, for your joining us. It's great to see you here in the studio, and keep up your service.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.